Well, while you were waiting for the service to begin, perhaps you read the bulletin announcements and you saw that next Saturday you're all invited to a wedding here at St. John's for Steve and Christy Lynn, Wendy and David's daughter, who grew up in the parish. And I hope that you will feel free to come or not, as you wish, but you're all invited. I hope and trust that whether you come or not, you won't be thrown into the deepest darkness. Not a good day for the king, and not a good day for the wedding guests, and not a good day for the slaves. And you might have heard the tone in my voice when I said, the gospel of Christ. Some weeks it's kind of hard to imagine where Jesus got his parables from exactly. This is a fairly difficult one and not one that is incredibly familiar, nor is it very comfortable. A wedding guest without a worthy wardrobe results in being cast out of the party into the outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Clearly, there is more to this story than proper attire. More is at stake than what to wear or not, what not to wear when getting invited to the royal nuptials. So what is the more of the story? What more is necessary? What more is demanded? What more is expected? What more is required? What do we assume that more to be? And how do we find what that more looks like? And how do we define what that more includes? It's a big more. Something more has to happen. But maybe this Bible passage, this parable, actually isn't interested in our questions that attempt to understand it and avoid, as well, the guest's fate. Maybe it rather just simply states a truth. A seat at the matrimonial banquet in the kingdom of heaven will require something more than merely accepting an invitation to discipleship. In other words, it's not enough just to RSVP and then show up. I remember when, and you may remember, that churches in some places in our country, in our city, used to at one day have their names on the pews. That's because people paid for the pews. And it was their pew to sit in. And it wasn't just enough, I suspect, for that community, for someone to pay for the pew and then never show up. It's nice to receive people's money and donations, but it actually takes more than that to have a Christian community. That's important. It's part of our commitment. But there is more to that. It's not enough anymore in this day and age just to say that you're a follower of Christ and then act as if you were sound asleep during every Sermon on the Mount, every teaching of Jesus, everything you ever heard about what it meant to be a Christian. It's not enough to pledge allegiance to membership and then not vow and work to live that out in our world. It's not enough to just say that we're Christians and then stay silent when life or liberty or love are in jeopardy. A woman called Sharon Ring wrote, "It appears that Matthew envisions further accountability beyond one's initial response of discipleship, our yes to the invitation to God's banquet." Exactly. It's not enough to be satisfied with just getting all of you wonderful people here into church this morning. And once we get you all here, we're so happy that you all showed up that we forget that there's more to it than that. That either those who were here when you came just say hello and then never speak to you again, or that those of us who attend walk out the door and don't do anything with what just happened here as a community. Because if we perpetuate a passive faith, if we say that it's okay just to believe and not ever do anything about it in our lives, then that will be reflected in our church and in our world. In this day and age, we are called to be more. We are called to show in our lives the love and the life and the gospel of Christ. Often we wonder and we mourn the loss of Christianity's voice in our world. But perhaps the loss of that voice in the public sphere is because we have stuck with the status quo, rather than asking ourselves what the more is now that's required of us. We have a gift. We have a gift of new life. We have a gift of a gospel that gives us healing. We have the gift of a gospel that changes people's lives. And to not actually share that gift is the same kind of idolatry that we heard in the first reading today. But it's hard. And that is why we gather, not just to show up to the pews that we technically might have paid for, but that we can gain strength from one another, and we can share our stories, and we can be affirmed and be able to go out and do the things we need to do. Yesterday and the night before, 30-some women gathered in our women's retreat. About half were from the parish and half from other parishes in our diocese. And we gathered to talk about grief and forgiveness. And as people told their stories of those things in our lives that hurt us and that we have to be forgiven for and forgiven others for, and grief that we have to live through, a community formed in 24 hours or less that touched every single person there. And the stories that we told one another, even those we'd never met before, will live on in some form, because it would empower, I think, each one of us to do something maybe a little different, to see someone else maybe with more compassion, or perhaps to stand up and speak in a way that we never dreamt we could. Because we by nature are afraid of making offense. And we as Christians really like to be nice, and we as Anglicans are very polite. We are afraid at times to ruffle feathers. We are afraid that sometimes that people may not be able to be part of our community and they might leave. We are afraid to lose what we already had once before. We are afraid to upset constituencies. We're afraid to speak out of our own convictions. We can be afraid to challenge the effectiveness of people's commitments. We can be afraid to take risks. We can be afraid of the very thing that got that guest thrown out in the first place at that wedding. We can be afraid to not follow through on the invitation we have accepted. Many are called, but few are chosen. It is true. And the chosen ones are the ones who realize that just showing up isn't enough. And we all know that, don't we? If you join a club and you show up and you never pay your dues or you never go to a meeting, well, why bother? Well, this is not a club. This is a faith that we say we believe in. And so when we show up, that is a great thing. And sometimes that's all we can do. Believe me, I know. Some weeks, showing up is amazing, because that's all you can manage. Some years, showing up once a year, that's all you can manage. And that's okay, because someone else that week can do more. So by you showing up when you're not able to manage much more, you give others a gift, and that is the gift to care for you. And whenever you are able to show up and do more when you walk out of here that week, that gives the world a gift. And it also gives everyone else the encouragement and the modeling and just the affirmation that it can be done. We live in a world that desperately needs a message of love, a love that is not just simple, a love that is gracious, a love that changes lives, a love that actually expects some things from people. Because in our world, people actually want to be expected to make a difference. Maybe Matthew's issue in this reading wasn't so much that the guest showed up dressed like an episode of What Not to Wear, but that he was unaware of the urgency of the invitation. He didn't realize, or maybe no one told him when he came to the banquet, that a summons to God's banquet means a call to action. And sometimes we forget that. We forget that we are called not just to be and to pray and to worship, but we are called to act. Act in justice, act in ways that honor and respect people, act in ways that grow the kingdom of God. So what shouldn't we wear? Complacency, conformity, and anything probably that keeps us content with the way it's always been. What can we wear so that the whole world can see who we are and what we're about? Well, the kind of compassion birthed by God's own righteousness that cannot anymore leave things just the way they are. We heard in Philippians, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. We need to remember all of those things that bring joy and life and health and healing, and we need to fight for those and to stand for those. Let us be the change that we want to see in our world. Amen.